If you can't sing about Amazing Grace and be a little happy, something's very wrong. You know, it's hard for me to believe. I didn't realize this actually until we were on the lake yesterday. This is the last day of summer for those who have kids and teachers. And you don't think so, Julie? Well, I mean, real life ends for students and teachers this next week. So summer, even though technically it keeps coming, we were at the lake yesterday, and there's just like a million people on the lake yesterday. And then it dawned on me, she goes back into the real world tomorrow. And then, Cato, when do you start? You start tomorrow, and then Mount Ida starts next Monday?
Samantha starts tomorrow, too.
Oh, my. I'm getting stressed just thinking about it. You start tomorrow, Samantha? Life's over, isn't it? No. It was good. It's always good in the summer because I don't, you know, it's not near as stressful for me as a husband of a teacher. And tomorrow that ends. As a matter of fact, it ends right after this service because I get to go clean her room. But I am glad that you're here. If you have a Bible, if you have the Bible on your phone, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're looking at verses 7 through 21. Who has the answer to the number of times love is mentioned in those verses? John? 29. He's right, Julie.
I'm gonna
have to, because I know he's using. How many of you got 27? Okay, raise your hand there. 27, and you're both kind of right, because if you got 27, then you're using probably the New Living Translation or something like that. But the to get 29, the way I think John got 29 is in many of the translations. It says, not dear friends, it says beloved. Is that where you got your two extra ones from, John? I'll have to go back and check your Bible. Make sure it's legit. But it's interesting, in the New Living Translation and the New International Version, it says, dear friends, referring to Christians, brothers and sisters. But actually, the word is the word from agape, it means beloved, and it means one who is divinely loved. And John is talking to those who are divinely loved by God. And so the message this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is to you. Because you are the beloved. You are the one that He died for. Now, of course, the love bomb is Jesus. But there was a term called love bombing that was used back in the 70s to describe, well, they actually used it to describe themselves. How many of you remember the Moonies, the Unification Church? Anybody remember those in the 70s? Shows your age. And one of the things they used to talk about is how they would recruit new members for their organization, their religion. And the way they would do it, it was called love bombing. And what it meant was they would find someone who was possibly interested in their church, and they would just bombard them with friendship and love and gifts, and they would do everything in their power to get them to join and be a part of the Unification Church. And it was actually a strategy that was also used by another cult called the Family International. And what they would do is they would find someone and they would love on them, hoping to get them to be a part of their group. And psychologists will say love bombing can be both positive and negative. And when I was studying this passage, it was kind of interesting to me, because the difference for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ is we are called to love bomb not to try to get someone to be a part of our church. The reason we are called to love bomb and to be involved in loving others is because we have experienced God's love. And so what I'm talking about this morning in these verses, he's talking to Christians and he's saying, because God has loved you so much, because God has done so much for you, he wants you to treat others that way. And I was trying to get, you know, one of the hardest things to me about preaching is trying to get an outline. And so I had spent all day Monday just looking at these verses and beat myself in the head because I was trying to come up with an outline that would describe these verses. And what I decided to do was to let these verses speak for themselves. Because in this passage of Scripture, 27 times the word love is mentioned. That's huge. That's an abnormal number of times in Scripture for something to be repeated over and over again. And one of the things you need to know about the Bible is when something is repeated over and over again, it's for a reason. It's like the Apostle John, the one who was in the inner circle, the one who walked with Jesus and watched Jesus and experienced his love. What he's saying to you and me this morning is, if you've experienced this love, here's how it should affect you. And really, in these verses, this is a picture to me of what church membership is all about. Church membership is not in joining a church to be on the road. Church membership is to be a part of a body where you can love other people. Okay, it's all about love. So let's look at, first of all, the definition of the word love. The word love in the English dictionary means this. It says, the verb love means to feel deep affection for someone. Love in an English language is referring to an emotion, a feeling that you have. That's like I was telling the kids when a guy looks at a girl and he says, I love you, he's talking about a feeling that he or she experienced. And we all know, those of us who are in love, we all know the way you stay married is to get rid of the feeling part. Right? Because sometimes you don't always feel like loving, but you love, right? Right? Okay, I'm just making sure. Don't act so spiritual out there. But the word in the Greek, the word that is used here is a Greek word called agape. It's divine love. And the kind of love that describes how we are in our church and the way that we are with other people is agape love. It's not a feeling. You don't love people in this church because you feel something. You love people in the church because you're compelled to by what God has done for you. As a matter of fact, the Greek word agape means this. It is a love that impels one to sacrifice oneself for the benefit of the object loved. In other words, if I love you, I am willing to sacrifice my wants and my needs to help you. No feeling involved in it. It is an unselfish love. It is an unconditional love. John MacArthur said this about agape love. It's the self-sacrificing service. Love granted to someone who needs to be loved, not necessarily to someone who is attractive or lovable. You see, the love of the church, the love of Christians, is not a love that is given to someone because they are attractive or they deserve it. The love that we have is something we give to each other because God loves. It is a commitment to each other, not a commitment to feel something. And that's one of the major problems that is wrong today with so many churches, is they want to feel something in loving each other, when if we truly are doing what John is going to talk about here and have agape love, we're going to do whatever is necessary to make someone else better. Christian love is a commitment to someone else who may or may not deserve it to make them better. Does that make sense? It's kind of like a lot of times in churches we want everybody to come together and everybody to be the same and everybody to be friendly and attractive and our friends. And we think that if we find a church that has that, that we're in love. We have, but no, I want to try to paint a different picture. When John talks about love, he's talking about us being committed to each other when we're good, when we're not good, when we're deserving it, when we're not deserving it. You know what agape love? Agape love is coming up here on Wednesday nights and working with children and youth and cooking dinner and being a part of it. That is love. Sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't feel like it, but the reason you do it is because you love those who come. The reason you work on Sunday mornings is because you love those you teach in Sunday school or children or youth. Love is about doing what someone else needs, and it's so incredibly important in the church. And see, we base love in the church on my needs getting met. If you say to me, Brother Bill, you just don't meet my needs, my answer would be, bingo. My goal is not to meet your needs. It's to help you be more like Christ. Does that make sense? I mean, well, I don't like that preacher. He doesn't meet my needs. I've never intentionally tried to meet anybody's needs. But what I'm trying to say is, I want to teach you how to love each other and to love people that maybe are hard to love. John, in his book, John chapter 13, said this in verse 34 and 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove you are my disciples. You want the world to think that you're a Christian? Then start loving people. You see, love bombing, I believe, in this passage is taught because we have this relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't help but love other people. And I'm going to go on the record and say, if you can't love other people, you better check your love with the Savior, because He's pretty strict here. So 27 times or 29 times this word love is mentioned. So how am I going to get through in 15 minutes? Well, let's go quick. Here we go. First of all, number one, it's just a command. Love each other. That'll leave something blank. Huh? Okay. Love each other. Verses 7-8 says, dear friends, dear beloved, let us continue to love one another. Now get this, for love comes from who? God. The source, if you're a believer and you're connected and you're living for Christ, here's what I'm going to say. You will love other people, whether they're attractive or not attractive. Why? Because you're going to have that agape love. He says that let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not know God But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, if you don't love other people, something's wrong with your relationship with God. Because God is love. He is the source. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, that command, let us continue to love one another, is the present active. It means it's to continually be happening in your life. You are continually to be loving one another. You are to continually be building up one another. We need to understand that we are told over and over again in the scripture, because God loves us and because we have a relationship with Him, it should be seen by our loving each other. Now, one of the fun things we did last Wednesday night is on Wednesday night, everybody brought cookies. Was it last Wednesday night or the Wednesday night before that? Okay. We all brought cookies up to the church. And then we took them to those senior adults in our church. Not all were home. And gave them to them just to say, hey, we're thinking about you and loving you. The only great thing about that thing that I just didn't need was the fact that Cassie... Man, she made those cookies, Chad. I don't know how you keep from getting fat. She had these cookies that hopefully you got in your bundle, but I would be fixing your cookies and eating a cookie. And you know, it was probably not good for me to do that. But here's the thing. The only reason we did that, and it was a lot of fun, and we need to do it more often, and it's because we loved our people. And I know, if you got cookies, raise your hand. We'll see the cookie people. Were they good? Did you enjoy them? Did you feel a little loved? Well, you know, love does something. Love takes action. And what John says here is that we are to continually love each other, and that is doing things to help each other. It's a verb. It's an action. It's an action you take for the benefit of someone else. And when the church gets that understanding that being a member of a church is doing something for someone else, then a church begins to grow, and then a church is strong. Why? Because its love is strong. Love is about doing something for someone else. And people want to join churches all the time to get fed. I want to be fed spiritually. I want to be fed spiritually. If I'm feeding you spiritually, you're going to be feeding someone else physically. Or you're going to be doing something for someone else, because love is a verb. Love is an action. So he says the first thing we're to do is to love each other because God loves us. And then he goes to this second thing and he says, God showed you his love. If you look at verses 9 and 10, he says, but God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And then he says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You see, God showed you his love. He sent his son, his son's name Jesus. His son died on the cross so your sins and my sins could be forgiven. That's good news. That's the gospel. God showed you his love. So many people today in the world think God doesn't love them. That God's a mean God. That God's a God that wants to punish them. That's not the truth. God sent his son Jesus to die for every single person in this room so they would not have to pay the penalty for their sins. I mean, God showed us his love. And we need to understand that because he showed up and because he gave, we benefit from it. Here's the thing about salvation. It doesn't matter what your past is. What matters is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ who covers the past. You see, no one in this room has a right to be here except by the fact that Jesus died for your sins. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God didn't wait for you to get better to die for you. He died for you while you are lost. And so your response is to trust Him. I know so many people in our world today that live in guilt. They live in continual guilt about something they've done in the past, and they can get rid of the guilt. And the truth is, you can't. But He can. That's why He came. That's why He died. He died on the cross to get rid of your guilt, to get rid of your sin. Third thing, He says it again, love each other. If you look at verses 11 and 12, dear friends, beloved, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a kid, whether you're adult, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to love other Christians and love lost people as well. He says, we surely ought to love each other. Listen, does love describe your life? When people see you, do they see you as a person who is giving, one who is loving? Because if you have experienced the love of Christ, it ought to motivate you to love other people. Unfortunately, a lot of times, the worst examples of love are churches. It's always tragic to me, and y'all, I don't feel that way about y'all at all. But I've watched churches through the year who, through their actions, through their lack of love, say to the world, it's not real. You see, real love is forgiving one another. Again, verse 11, dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but listen to this, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to fullness, full expression in us. So in other words, one of the best ways you can witness to the lost world around you is by loving each other here in the church. Because when they look at you and they see some of you are very different from each other. You're not like me, and I'm not like you. But when they look at us and they go, in spite of their differences, they still love each other. What that says to the world, there's a God who's bigger than the things that we have in our lives. We've got to love each other. He re-emphasizes it again. In John chapter 17, verse 21, John wrote it this way. He says, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me and the Father and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. In other words, when the world sees believers loving each other, they go, man, that's different. Fourth thing, you need to trust His love. Verses 13 and 16. He says, and God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. And then look at verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in His love. You see, being a Christian is about realizing how much God loves you, not how much you love Him. It's about Him seeing that you understand why He died on the cross. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me. And the only thing He asked me to do is to trust His love. To trust what He did for me because He loved me. And see, a lot of people think the way to know Christ is to join a church. Listen, the way is to trust His love. Trust what He did for you because He loved you. Too many people are trying to earn God's love instead of trust what He did for them. So if you're here this morning and you're trying to find God, you simply need to trust what He's already done for you. He died for you in order that you could have eternal life. Have you done that? Who are you trusting? The fifth thing, loving each other gives us boldness. Look at verses 17 and 18. He says, "And as well we live in God, our love grows more perfect." As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. "So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world." And look at verse 18. "Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love." Let me tell you what. When you trust Jesus to forgive you of your sins, when you trust Jesus to give you what you need to make it through the day, when you begin to trust in who He is, you will not have a fear of God. I can't remember in my early days as a Christian, when I really didn't understand God's love, I used to see God as a God that was mean and wanting to punish me. But the more I began to understand that Jesus came and He died for me because He loved me, the more that I understood that He loved me and He died for me and He unconditionally loved me, I can't remember the last time I doubted my salvation. Now, I'm not overconfident. I don't think I deserve to be saved. Here's what I do know. I trust the One who saves me. I don't fear God. I really don't. I respect Him. I have awe of Him. But I'm not afraid when we get to the judgment seat that He's going to look at Bill and go, "Oop, you were one short. You shouldn't have thought that about that person." When I get to the judgment seat, here's the one thing He's going to see. He's going to see the blood of Jesus forgiving me. That's it. I don't fear God. I respect Him. But I'm not afraid of judgment day. Are you afraid of judgment day? I hope not. You see, God loves you and He died for you. And it gives you boldness. It gives you an ability to come before Him. The sixth thing, love each other because He first loved you. Look at verse 19. It's just a simple reminder in verse 19. We love each other. Why? Because He loved us first. Your love for each other is based on God's love for you. If you mess up that with Him, it's going to mess it up with other people. Now I want you to hear me this. If you love God, you're going to love your brother and sister in Christ. You show me a verse where it says you don't have to. Love each other because He first. Verse 20, look at this one. Are you a liar? Look at verse 20. If someone says, "I love God but hate a fellow believer," that person is a liar. Don't tell me you love God and hate your brother and sister. Now, you may not like them. You may not like the way they act. But do not tell me you love the God who loves you and hate someone. It just doesn't work. You may not like them, but hate is a strong word there. And the thing He says in verse 20 is basically, if you don't love that other person and you say you love me, you're a liar. Look at it again. Verse 20. If someone says, "I love God but hates a fellow believer," that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Are your relations right with people, other people? Don't tell me you're good with God and when you hate someone. And then the last one, He kind of sums it up and I'm done. I love the verse 21. "And He has given us this command," two commands basically, Those who love God, you have to love God. Command number one, love God. Must also love their fellow believer. Command number two. You know, Jesus summed it all up, and John was a good friend of Jesus, and he said there's just two things. You've got to love God and love others. And when we see this, we ought to be just overwhelmed with God's love. And basically, it ought to affect us these three ways. Number one, if you've never trusted Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you need to do that. It's the only way to be right with God. It's not by being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic. The only way to be right with God is to have your sins forgiven. And the only way to have your sins forgiven is to put your faith in the one who died for you. That's number one. And when you do that, you experience God's love. Number two, you need to understand that being a member of any church, whether it's this church or another church, being a member of a church means that you are committed to the other person's betterment. You are committed to each other, not because they deserve it, but because you love them. It's a verb. It's an action. And we need to understand that being a member, that's why it's so important. It's so important to be a member of a small group. It's why it's so important to know each other's name and know what's going on in their lives. You know, we went last night on a real spiritual life group adventure. We went to Bird Island. How many of you ever heard of Bird Island? We went to Bird Island last night. When you're stuck on a boat for who knows how long with Sam driving, you get to know each other, you know? And we saw about a million martins. And it was just kind of impressive. Doesn't sound real spiritual, does it? But you know what? It was cool. We were there because we love each other. You would never catch Bill Ashburn going and looking at birds by himself. But you take Sam and have Sam explain it all to you. I mean, I learned more about martins last night and birds than I ever want to know, you know? So here's what I'm saying. As being a part of this church, get to know each other. Have fun. It's okay to have fun. We had bingo last Wednesday night. It was a lot of fun. I know some of y'all think that's Christian gambling. Man, my only regret is that I was the one calling out the numbers. That's a raw deal. I did it because I loved y'all, was committed to y'all getting the gifts. We had a blast. And then we got through, and I thought everybody'd go home. And next thing I know, they're in the gym playing pickleball. These are adults. These aren't kids. Playing pickleball and nine square. And I don't know what time everybody left, but I left before everybody did. And you know what? That's what I like about church. You got to know each other. So maybe you need to be a part of the church. And you see, church is more than showing up. It's being a part of people's lives. And then the last thing, maybe you're one of those people that hate someone. Maybe you need to repair that relationship. Listen, life's too short to hate people. It really is. The way to do it is to love people. So I hope, because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will love each other. And y'all are the most loving church. I love my church. But that's what love is. Love is giving. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. And I thank you for our church. And I thank you that they work hard, serve hard, and do all kinds of things because they love each other. But I pray the reason that we would love would be because you loved us first. That when someone is in a love relationship with you, it changes everything. I ask this in Jesus' name.